us, even though we were sinful. There was nothing glorious, nothing extravagant in the way Jesus came into this world. And we're going to hear about that in our next passage. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. We're now going to hear a talk from Mike on humility.
Well, good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors at this church. I'm going to be speaking from that passage that we just read, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. This Christmas, I want to give an encouragement to all of us to choose humility. Humility was the kind of life that Jesus lived. And I think also it is the kind of virtue that our world needs as well. And I hope that you're going to see that from God's word today. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your son Jesus into the world. And thank you for this space that we have now to remember and reflect on that each Christmas time each year. Lord, we pray that we may learn from Jesus' life, his example and his teaching. And we pray that as we do that, that we may be blessed by you and be a blessing to others. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine that you and your family are moving to another country. Maybe you're going for work or maybe you're going for study, but whatever reason it is, all the people in your current household are moving house. You are all going. When it comes to that new country that you're heading to, how would you decide where you were going to live? You'd probably think of the obvious things, right? You'd want to live in a place that's close to where you work or close to where you study. You would need to be able to get to kind of where it is you're going, so you want to be close to some form of transportation that would get you there as well. But what about beyond that? Well, what are the other factors that you would consider if you were moving house to another place? How important would the neighbourhood be? Maybe the crime rate of the neighbourhood that you were going to? What about the quality of the schools? What if there was government housing nearby? What about the average wealth of the people that you are living among? I ask these questions because when we read the Christmas story, it becomes pretty obvious that Jesus could have chosen anywhere he wanted to be born. Jesus could have chosen a palace. He could have chosen a life of comfort and luxury. He could have been born into that, but he didn't. Jesus chose humility. And this Christmas, in light of Jesus, I want to encourage all of us to choose humility as well. Now, in certain ways, we are very, very different from Jesus. None of us can say that we chose to be born. We did not exist before we were born. So getting born, kind of getting conceived, is beyond our control. And definitely, we can't say that we chose the place where we would be born. But Jesus could say that, and Jesus did choose. Because before Jesus was born, Christians believed that Jesus was God the Son. He was one of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Son, that second person, chose to come into the world, and he chose the circumstances in which he would be born into the world as well. It says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." So you see here, Jesus chose humility. Jesus belonged all the way at the very top. It says that he was in the form of God. But Jesus chose to give up that status. He chose to not grasp after that status, but instead he emptied himself of that status. He was born as a man. Instead of being the master, Jesus became the servant. He is the original undercover boss. And when we read Luke chapter 2, everything about the story of Jesus being born actually oozes humility. You might notice that Jesus was born against a very humble backdrop. If you look at verses 1 to 3, you'll see a census is being taken. Everyone is being registered in the Roman Empire. I don't know how excited you get about the Australian census every 4 years. I'm not sure that any one of us is running home to rip open that envelope and fill out those multiple choice dots. But here it gets even more dull than that, actually. This particular census was for the very, very exciting purpose of taxation. And so here you're combining the two most boring things you have to do as a citizen. You've got to fill out your census and do your taxes. You know, there are no wars going on here. There are no natural disasters going on. There's no meteor plummeting to earth to announce the birth of Jesus. This is a very humble backdrop against which the birth of Jesus takes place. We see that Jesus was born to very humble parents as well. This is Joseph and Mary who were heading to the city of Bethlehem. Joseph was a carpenter. He was working class. He did not have the education that the elites of society had. There were many other families who were richer and more noble and more respectable than Joseph and Mary, and Jesus did not choose to be born into those families. Jesus chose humble parents. And Jesus was born in very humble circumstances as well. In verses 6 and 7, when Mary gives birth, it does not say that when Jesus was born that Mary wrapped him in her Baby Bjorn baby carrier and placed him in their bugaboo pram. No, Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, is where the baby Jesus was laid. You know, men are often put into the doghouse by their wives, but no man actually deliberately chooses to be put into the doghouse. Jesus kind of did. Jesus chose to be born against a humble backdrop, to humble parents, in humble circumstances. Jesus chose humility. But Jesus actually had a very particular reason for choosing humility. It's not because Jesus was a masochist. It's not because Jesus enjoyed suffering and pain. There is nothing wrong with Jesus psychologically here. Jesus chose humility because he had a deep and true understanding of the economics of God. Jesus knows how God works. And particularly here, Jesus knows that God gives more glory to those who are humble. Because humility gives the maximum opportunity for God's glory to shine. And we see this because right after this passage about the humble backdrop and humble parents and humble circumstances of Jesus' birth, we read about a whole heavenly host of angels praising God and announcing the birth of Jesus. You see, the greater the humility, the greater the glory. We see this throughout Jesus' life as well. Jesus criticized people who did their righteous deeds in front of people. You know, the kind of people who prayed long and flowery prayers in front of people. The kind of people who made big financial donations, but also made sure that everyone saw them make those donations. The kind of people who made a big deal to people about how much they were suffering. Jesus says to each of these people, they have received their reward in full. And Jesus is saying, look, you want praise from people, you get it, but that is all that you get. You get nothing from God. You see, with Jesus, it's less humility, less glory from God. And Jesus told a story about a religious leader, a Pharisee, a righteous person who thanked God that he was not like other men. But also in this story, there was this tax collector, this corrupt businessman who goes up to God and he doesn't boast about himself. He can't because he's a bad person. He's got nothing to boast about. And so all he does is plead with God to have mercy on him, a sinner. And Jesus says that it's actually the tax collector who is the one who is right with God, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, more humility leads to more glory from God. And finally, we see at the end of Jesus' life on earth, when he dies on the cross for us, This is the lowest that a person could ever go. Jesus goes all the way down to death. But it's not just a death, but also a painful death and a humiliating death. Crucifixion was the worst possible death a person could die at the time. It was a statement that the person who was being crucified was the lowest of the low. This person did not deserve your respect. He deserved to be humiliated. He deserved cruelty and torture. And they were saying this about Jesus, who was the person who deserved those things the least. And yet that death was used by God as the greatest thing to ever happen in history. With that death, Jesus was taking our sins on himself, taking away our fear and punishment of hell, giving us the hope of being in the new heavens and the new earth with God. On the cross, Jesus assures us that God loves us, and he assures us that God is more powerful than death and sin and evil. You see, with Jesus, there is maximum humility and therefore maximum glory from God. Throughout the life of Jesus, Jesus chose humility and he taught humility. Because he wanted people to receive glory from God rather than glory from people. The German theologian Martin Luther, reflecting on the humility of Jesus, he wrote, "God created the world out of nothing, and as long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us." See, with Jesus, this is how God works. The more humility, the more glory from God. And I think it's quite timely that we read about how Jesus chose humility at this particular Christmas, because I think our world right now could probably use a bit of humility. We live in a world where people will sacrifice telling the truth for money or respect or votes. We live in a world where a lot of people are way too confident about what they think is right. We live in a world where people are constantly grasping after more, whether it's more money or more things or more respect or more pleasure. And as they grasp, people are feeling the anxiety and the broken relationships that come from seeking those things at the expense of what is important. And I think Jesus in the Bible, he is choosing humility as a statement to us that there is a better way to live. See, Jesus did not grasp after the things that he did deserve. Now, it's kind of funny then that we grasp after things that we don't deserve. Jesus shows by the kind of life that he lived that instead what we can do is that we can restrain our ambitions, restrain our desires, restrain our dreams. And if we do, then our lives will be better for it. And so can I encourage you this Christmas to choose humility? Maybe choose humility in your finances. To not go for the most expensive house or car or holiday or lifestyle that you can possibly afford and the debt and stress that come with that. Maybe to choose a humble status in life, not valuing yourself by your job title or the number of people that follow you or whether you fit the mold of someone who has made it. Because with God, you have already made it through Jesus. Choose humility in the way that you express yourself. Maybe not acting certain when you're not certain. Maybe being willing to admit when you're wrong or say sorry when you have done the wrong thing and to help others to do those kinds of things too. You see, whatever it is that we're grasping after, whatever it is that you think you need, choosing humility means maybe dialing that back a little bit. Maybe being like Elsa and letting it go. And if you do that, you will probably find all sorts of other blessings in your life too. If you choose humility, maybe you will find that you do not miss the things that you were striving for. Maybe you'll find that you're less busy and stressed in your life. Maybe you'll find that you have space to serve others rather than needing others to serve you. Maybe you'll find that there are less temptations for you to compromise on your values or to be fake or insincere. Maybe you'll find that people like you better because you are no longer the competition. And finally, I think most of all, if you choose humility, maybe like Jesus, you might look a bit kind of foolish to the world, but in God's eyes, you will be a king or a queen because you are receiving honor from God. The Baptist pastor F.B. Meyer said, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one after another, and the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves, and the lower we stoop, the more we get." That is the blessing of choosing humility. When we look at the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth, when we read and hear that story of the baby in the manger born to humble parents against that most ordinary of backdrops, it should be impossible for us to hear that story and not choose humility. The story of Jesus' life follows a consistent trajectory of humiliation followed by exaltation, suffering followed by glory, weakness followed by power. And Jesus calls us to follow that trajectory too. To deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him on that trajectory. And so in light of what Jesus has done for you this Christmas, I hope that you consider how you can be that little bit more like him and choose humility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus' life. Thank you that he was humbled and that he chose humility. He chose to be humbled, that your glory might shine, that he might be exalted. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that we might do that in our own lives too. And Lord, whatever that is for us, whatever it is that we are grasping after, whatever it is that we are setting our hopes in, whatever it is that we are kind of chasing pointlessly, Lord, we pray that you may give us the strength and the self-control to be able to dial that back. Lord, like Jesus, we pray that we may choose humility. And Lord, we pray that you may work through that so that your glory may shine, so that we may give more glory to you, and that you may give more glory to us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to continue singing a few carols. We're going to sing about the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth with the song Prepare Him Room. This is about how Jesus was born in humble circumstances, but it's also a call for us to make room in our lives for Jesus, to not be like that inn that could not take Jesus in. After that, we're going to go to the other end of the scale, and we're going to sing about the glory of Jesus as the King of the world with the words of O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand and sing with us.